for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, July the 6th, 2012. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service teaching on meekness.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. What a wonderful series of meetings this has been.
Yeah.
God is just pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. And we're not done yet. Amen. Well, Sister Jerry McGee is going to come tonight, and she has the rest of the evening. And we appreciate Jerry. We appreciate Carla. They come every camp meeting. Kyle's coming more and more as he can. And it's just a blessing. Jerry is, I think one of the things that I appreciate the most about Jerry is she is still so willing to be processed. She's still so willing to allow the Lord to bring change into her life. And, you know, God has given her some truths, and she sticks with those, just like Kyle was saying. You know what to expect with Jerry. But she's stuck with this. She's got some truths, and I'm telling you, they're real. And she set her face like a flint with this. And you know, sometimes we have to hear things. Kevin says it's the mud against the wall. You know, every time something, some wet mud is thrown, a little bit sticks, some falls to the ground, but it just, you keep throwing it, and a little, each time a little bit more sticks. And we need to hear some of these truths over and over and over again so that they can get down deep in us, and God can work and continue to process and take these layers off and layers off. And so, Jerry, come and let the Lord use you to take some layers off of us tonight. Amen.
Well, it's so good to be here. And those of you who come, if you got some deliverance and you are still know that you're a work in process, and you will be that until you enter eternity. Don said something to me, you can get all the pride out and you won't get it all out till you get to heaven. But I have been humble and proud of it. I just thought I was just so with it. I know some of you are just delighting in this message. Because basically, it really came out of what God taught me in my quest to get my eyes healed. And the title of it is Meekness and Humility, God's Cure for Arrogance, Haughtiness, Pride, and Egotism. Basically, it's the key to lifting up Jesus. A couple of months ago, let's pray. Lord, we just come before you, and Lord, we just ask you to download me with what you want. Help me to be transparent, Lord. Thank you that you said if we confess our faults to one another, we'll be healed. And Lord, it's our pride that blocks us from healing and deliverance. And so, Lord, I want it all out of me. And I know that others here want it out of them. And so, Lord, we bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We ask you to circumcise our ears. God, give us ears to hear, dig out, excavate, and irrigate our ears in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. You know, one of the basic roots to ear problems is turning people off. I'm listening. Click, click. You see, it's almost like a vow. It's a coping mechanism, and it's really false God. If I'm used in turning you off as a way to cope with your control or with your words, it's idolatry. God wants us to face everything. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that in. About 2 months ago in church, in our prayer group, in our prayer meeting on Wednesday night, I asked the Lord, Lord, show me what it means. You said, if you be lifted up, you'll draw all men to yourself. And so I thought, well, you know, I must be doing something wrong. Lord, are you that way where you think, well, where are all the people I'm supposed to be drawing to myself, to Jesus? Something's wrong. And what the Lord's shown me through this teaching is we only lift up Jesus. He's meek and lowly when we humble ourselves and when we choose death to ourselves, to deny ourselves. Then is when the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus can come through, and that's when He's lifted up. Well, most of us, and I say me, I have not known the first thing about that. But this message is on meekness, and it really started at the last camp I was here. I shared this, some of this Friday night, and there's others of you that have come in, so I'll share what I shared. But I was sitting at the table with Merle, not knowing that he was an optometrist, sharing with him about my eye problem, and he said, well, you're wise in not going to an eye doctor because they can't do anything about your problem anyway. He said, I discern that in your life it's a spirit of pride and a spirit of Leviathan. And I was as submitted as I know how to be to the Lord. How many of you know that you can be as submitted as you know how to be, denying yourself in all the areas you know, and then tomorrow he shows you another area that you need deliverance in? And it's a process. Sanctification is a process. And God tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And so I began to ask the Lord to show me all the deep areas of pride that I did not see. And oh my goodness, I was at the airport one day when he first started showing me this, and I was shipping a puppy. And I had shipped 6 puppies the day before, and they're supposed to give you certificates to labels to put on the kennels. Well, she just gave me 2. And I said, well, can I have more than 2 because I'm shipping more puppies? She said, no, it's an airline rule. I can only give you 2. So here comes the boss. I said, can I, the manager of the whole airport, and I said, can I get more of these? And da-da-da. And he gave me a bunch of them. And I got out of the car and I thought, self-assertiveness, pride, pushing yourself forward. And I sat there in the car and I said, oh, God, I'm so ashamed of myself. That's abominable. And so he began to show me all the areas of pride that I didn't even see in my life. And so I began to look up, I made an appointment with Merle to drive out to Kansas for him to do some more deliverance on me. He prayed here and it was better for a week, and then it got worse. And I couldn't even read the menu in the Cracker Barrel. And in church, I could not read my Bible in church. And so I made an appointment with Merle out in Kansas, and he said, you're sure coming a long way for deliverance. I said, look, it's like the woman wanting to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. I'd go anywhere to get my eyes healed. And, you know, we have to be willing to do whatever it takes to get ourselves fixed, whatever it is. Anyway, I thought, before I go, I'm going to just look up all the words on pride and what they mean. And so I began to do that. And before I got to Kansas, my eyes were already better. After he prayed with me, they were better. And he told me that the prescription was a little weaker. Well, I know I'm on the right track because the God said he sent his word to heal me. And so this message has really come out of word studies that I have done on the spirit of meekness. And I see I have never been meek or mild or gentle in my whole life. And the other day, when I saw this thing about the yokes and about humbling myself, when I saw this, I sat there and was in my prayer room at home, and I thought, I am so ashamed of myself. I thought, how have people put up with me? And so I want to apologize to you again for my arrogance. You know, like I said, humble and proud of it. Anyway, well, I know you do. But I want to humble myself. I don't want to be a prideful person. And, you know, pride is like an iceberg. You can saw it off at the water's edge and some more is going to float up. about, 20 years ago, I was out in California, and a man gave a word of knowledge, and I had a pain in my tailbone. He said, there are three people in this room that have pain in their tailbone, and it's the spirit of Leviathan. Well, I thought that thing was gone. But what the Lord showed me is when you wear the yoke of Jesus, your life will manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, which is meekness. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And what the Lord showed me is when that thing humble means to depress. It means to keep yourself low, to abase yourself. And when I read that definition, I thought, depress yourself? It's demonic to be depressed. But what the Lord showed me is we have to continue to choose to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for our flesh. It's a walk where we continue to do it. And it's like you, when that thing wants to rear up, that Leviathan thing wants to rear up, and he comes out in pieces. When he wants to rear up, I depress him through dying to my flesh. And when I saw that I hadn't been doing that, you see, I grew up being taught that the Lord helped those that help themselves, and that strength, as Kyle shared about his granddaddy, my daddy was the most courageous man. He had a gas company, and he had it all rigged up with a burglar alarm. He didn't pay a burglar company, but it rang at his house. And so he'd put his six-shooter on, and he would go over there. He was not afraid of anything. And I always admired him. I always wanted to be like my daddy. I always wanted to be strong like him. And you see, it's just the opposite. God said, when you're weak, you're strong. Not when you're strong, that his power might be made perfect in your weakness, not in your strength. And so through these verses, God began to show me words to repent over. And some of the words to be meek is to not be self-assertive, not to be proud, not to be haughty or egotistical. But to be humble means to be gentle, lowly, in contrast to pride. It means to be not be selfish. It means to not have self-will or arrogance. Other definitions of meekness are patient. Now, I've been looking up these words, and I still have a list of about 25 I haven't looked at. And as I look them up and look for the definitions of them, I see more words to add to my list. And so if you don't have most of you probably have a computer, but you can get eSword, e-sword.com, and you can get a free Bible program. And you can just pull up the words and you can see what the definitions mean in the Greek and the Hebrew. And then you can repent over those. And because my eyes are improving, it's made me know that, hey, he's right. It is a spirit of pride. You know, the Bible says that Moses was the meekest man that lived upon the earth, and his eye was not dim, nor was his strength abated. When I looked up the word evil eye, I forgot the definition, but I thought, oh, dear God, that fits me. I think it has to do with to tear or, in other words, it's like a critical eye, and it has to do with tearing. Well, that kind of sounds like macula, doesn't it? Macular degeneration, when your eye deteriorates. Anyway, it means to be soft, gentle, kind, forbearing, yielding, unassuming, tending to make or preserve peace, conciliatory, not warlike, peaceable, mild, to be at peace, to be peaceful, calm, tranquil, calm, gentle. It humble means to see yourself as a beggar. And when I saw that, I've never in my life saw myself as a beggar. It doesn't mean that you're a beggar. It means that you're to see yourself as a beggar. It means to be depressed, to see yourself as needy. You know, a Pharisee spirit sees everybody else as needy. I've had a Pharisee spirit and didn't even know it. I've taught against the Pharisees. Oh, my goodness. Humble means to abase yourself. And the arrogance I've seen in my life has made me so ashamed of myself. And I told Merle, I said, Merle, tell me what you're seeing me do and I won't do it no more. He said, I think it's probably something you can't help. I think it's a generational curse. But my whole family had eye problems. You know, macular degeneration, cataracts, glaucoma. And all of my family died almost blind, trusting doctors. And you see, you can go trust the doctor, but the demon that caused the problem is still there. You've got to deal with the demonic and the spiritual roots, because wherever we violate the Word of God, we've got a demon problem. Everybody. And we violated probably every scripture in this Word. Meekness or gentleness and humility. What is the difference between gentleness or meekness and humility versus pride, arrogance, boastfulness, and haughtiness? What is the difference? Meekness and gentleness and humility is an attitude of the heart, where pride, arrogance, haughtiness, egotism is a manifestation of a heart that's not humble. And the only time we're humble is when we choose death to ourselves. And we can think we're dead to ourselves, as I've thought in so many areas I was dead to myself. And as I look back, I see I just was deceived. You know, in Jeremiah, I believe it's in Jeremiah 42, God said, who is so blind as my servant? Kyle read a scripture this morning that he's my pastor, and I thank God I've got a great pastor. But he read a scripture in church one day. He read it here today. It says, because you say you see, you're blind. I went, oh, dear Lord, another thing to repent over. Because you say you see. Because you're know-it-all. You think you know everything. God, forgive me. Okay, I want you to go to... humility and meekness means spiritually one abases himself, and it's a choice. It's not to say you don't need deliverance, but it's a moment-by-moment choice. And let me say, it's all by grace. It's all by grace that you're saved. It's all by grace that you even want God. It's all by grace. Go to Titus, please. I want you to see what grace has to say. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. It's in verse 11. Now grace is speaking. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Now we know that all men aren't saved because they don't receive His grace. Instructing. Now this is what grace does. It instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. And that's why we work our salvation out with fear and trembling, by dealing with the issues. And God uses your problem to show you what He wants to deal with next. And we think, oh no, another problem. Meekness is a difficult word to translate into English because we think meek implies weakness. And I've heard the illustration that meekness was like a wild stallion under the control of his master, which is true. But the issue is He controlling you? Are you under His control? Like me, you think you are, but in areas you are not. One of the things I had to forgive my daddy for was teaching me that strength was good. And that the Lord helped those that help themselves. The Lord helps those that admit they're helpless. Go to 2 Corinthians 12:4. It says, how that He was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable, speaking of Paul, unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. He's not going to glory in himself, Paul said. He's going to glory in his infirmities. Have you been like me? I have never in my life gloried in my infirmities. we want God's power, we're going to have to glory or praise God in the midst of our infirmities. It's caused me to see my eye, the eye problem in a totally different light. Now I want to glory with this eye problem and not think, oh, it's this bad problem. Because what God is teaching me about eyes, if I just help one person, it's about His kingdom. It's about glorying in your infirmities that His power might rest on you. We want to see signs and wonders. And the reason is we're too busy using our own human strength and our own human boldness. You see, I was deceived into thinking that boldness, the Bible says the godly are as bold as lions. So I thought, well, that's a good quality to be bold. But as I look back, I see a lot of my boldness has been fleshly boldness and not boldness that's tempered under the control of the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul said, when I'm with you, I'm meek, but when I'm away from you, I'm bold. And I believe through that he was saying that he was a bold person. The godly are as bold as a lion, but when I'm in your presence, I'm meek. And it goes on to say, and I don't know if I said this a while ago, but if I'm not under the yoke of Jesus and under the control of the Holy Spirit, I'm under the control of a spirit of Leviathan. And I have to keep that thing depressed. And it's a choice. Am I going to deny myself or am I going to live after the flesh or my fleshly strength or my fleshly courage? It says, for though of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. That could be your infirmities. And Marilyn, even the things that you've gone through from the wheelchair, you're now standing up, you're getting stronger and stronger. You've overcome a lot. See, what you can share with people of the infirmities that you've gone through, we don't want to receive our infirmities. But it's, you know, olives are crushed. You crush the olive berries for the anointing. It's the crushing in your life that brings God's anointing. And you have to pay a price to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him. It says, and lest I should be exalted among measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted among measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. How many times have you asked God to remove your problem? That it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Brother Pennington, I just appreciate the godliness of your life, of your age and how you love the Lord. But what you said is we're programmed by the world to be strong, courageous, powerful in the flesh. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. How many of you are like me? I want the power of Christ to rest on me. I want signs and wonders in my life. And do you see that for me, for that to happen, I have to be willing to glory in my infirmities. And glory me, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, is the dunamis power, the mighty work, the virtue, and the power of God to rest on me. There's the signs and wonders we've been waiting for. What are we doing wrong? We're not seeing the healings, the signs and wonders. I'm not seeing it what I want to see in my life. And that, I believe, is the key. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Glory, hallelujah. The meek and humble person is not self-willed.
not continually concerned with self. Conversation consists of I, me, my ministry, what I did, blah, blah, blah. Some of you know people that when you're around them, all they do is talk about I, me, and my. You can't even get a word in edgewise. God brought a girl like that into my life. And you know what God showed me? I'm just like her. And you know what? God used her because I don't want to be that way. It made me see myself. Meekness is the opposite of self-will, self-interest, and self-assertiveness. And this is a sign not of weakness, as we've been taught, but it's a sign of strength. And it requires great self-control for me to continue to die to my life, that the life of Christ might come through. And then I'm lifting up Jesus, and then He will draw all men to Himself. You know, Moses and Jesus are two great Bible examples of meekness. Jesus says in Matthew 11:29, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon your neck and learn from me, for I am gentle, meek, and lowly. You know, it's a good sign to know that we do not have on the yoke of Jesus if meekness and lowliness is not coming through. And so the words of Jesus tell us to be lowly, and we have to wear His yoke. We need to examine the fruit. And so for me to manifest meekness, I have to choose to deny myself. Matthew 16:24. And here's an excellent definition of meekness without using the word. To be meek is to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him. And you know, if you're like me, you think you're denying yourself, but you're really not. And Lord, we pray that You show us every place that we are not denying ourselves. Give us the grace, Lord, to let go. The yoke of Jesus produces the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And to wear it, I have to come under the control of the Holy Spirit. I have to deny myself. I have to give up my life. Jesus said, if you want to find your life, you have to give it up and depress that prideful Leviathan thing that rears up. In Deuteronomy 28:48, it talks about because of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments, He's going to put a yoke of iron on our neck, and we will serve our enemies in hunger and thirst and nakedness and the lack of all things, and He will put an iron yoke on our neck until we're destroyed. We can wear the yokes of other people through letting other people control us, and that will produce the deeds of the flesh, the Leviathan thing, the prideful thing. You know, I let people control me. It's pride because I'm wanting people to love me. And hey, it's what God thinks that's important, not what someone else thinks. But I can wear the yoke of Jesus. I can wear the yoke of iron. I can wear the yoke of others. And you know, me, one of the biggest yokes I've worn is my own self-inflicted yoke of the expectations I have of myself. If I allow a Leviathan to use my body to manifest His character and nature, the deeds of the flesh, Galatians 5:19, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, as I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Any yoke except the yoke of Jesus produces the deeds of the flesh. And Leviathan is the personality of pride. It says in Job 41 that He's king over all the sons of pride. And I want you to turn to Job 41. So any area you're not denying yourself, you're manifesting the character and nature of Satan, which is Leviathan. In verse 1, can you draw out Leviathan with a fish hook or press down his tongue with a cord? You can't stop his mouth. Can you put a rope in his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? In other words, you can't control him. Will he make many supplications to you, or will he speak to you soft words? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him for a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird? That's what we do. Or will you bind him for your maidens that they might sport with him? Will the traders bargain over him? Will they divide him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him and you'll not do it again. Remember the battle, you'll not do it again. Behold, your expectation is false. Will you be laid low even at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he dares to arouse him. Who then is he that can stand before me, God says? Who has given to me that I should repay him? In other words, only God can subdue Leviathan. Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine, and I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. I bind Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in the heavenly places. And I declare you will not work in our life. You will not work in this camp. You will not keep anyone from the truth that sets us free, me especially, in Jesus' name. It says, I will not keep silent concerning his limbs or his mighty strength or his orderly frame. Who can strip off his outer armor? Who can come within his double mail? Who can open the doors of his face? Around his teeth, there's terror. His strong scales are his pride. Shut up as with a tight seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. And you can see how it can cause lung problems, how it can cause teeth problems, how it can cause breathing problems. It says they're joined one to another, they clasp each other and cannot be separated. His sneezes flash forth light and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. There's that eye thing. I think it means that he eclipses the sun. And I don't know exactly what all that means, but if he's like a crocodile in the water, and he comes up and you see his eye, it's like he eclipses. When he's coming up, your eyes are affected. You may get something else out of that, but that's what I got out of it. It says, his sneezes flash forth light and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning torches. Sparks of fire leap forth. Out of his nostrils smoke goes forth as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. When he gets mad, I'm here to tell you, fire and smoke come out his nose. I was at a spiritual warfare camp conference in Beaumont, and a girl came up for prayer. She said, I'm addicted to nasal sprays. And I said, do you ever get mad and burn everybody down? And she stood there, and her husband went. Anyway, it was the spirit of Leviathan, and when we cast Leviathan out, she was delivered from her nose would just stop up to where she couldn't breathe, and so she'd have to use the nose sprays. God totally set her free. The next day she came and she said, I've had no nose sprays. It was the spirit of Leviathan. His breath kindles coals and a flying flame goes forth from his mouth. In his neck lodges strength. And you see, that could be the root of neck problems, the yoke. You know, any yoke but the yoke of Jesus is grueling, chafing, annoying, and vexing. It's only the yoke of Jesus that's light and easy, and you find rest for your soul. It says, in his neck lodges strength, and dismay leaps before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together, firm on him, and immovable. His heart is as hard as a millstone, as hard as a stone. No compassion, no mercy, even as hard as a lower millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty fear, he makes people afraid. Because of the crashing, they're bewildered. The sword that reaches him cannot avail, nor the spear, the dart, or the javelin. In other words, you can't fight him with physical weapons. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned into stubble for him. Clubs are regarded as stubble. He laughs at the rattling of the javelin. Have you ever gotten a disagreement with your husband or your mate? And you're the spiritual one. You go in the bathroom and you start binding the devil because you're full of pride. And he laughs because you're going, nee, 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 nee. He laughs at the rattling of the javelin. He don't flee because you're in pride too.
It says clubs are regarded as stubble. Maybe I'm the only one that's done that. Clubs are regarded as stubble. He laughs at the rattling of the javelin. His underparts are like sharp potsherds. He spreads out like a threshing sledge on the mire. He makes the depths boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a jar of ointment. Behind him, he makes a wake to shine. He makes hell look wise. One would think the deep to be gray-haired. Nothing on earth is like him. One made without fear, he is fearless. He looks on everything that is high, prideful, lofty. He's king over all the sons of pride. So whatever area I'm living after the flesh, I manifest in that area a spirit of Leviathan. So you either wear the yoke of Jesus and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, or you wear the yoke of Satan, which is Leviathan. And the selfish person says, I want this, I need this, I need you to do this to make me comfortable. One precious sister was telling us that her mother is a Jezebel that wants you to serve her. I want this, I need this. And God's trying to get all that out of us. We can deny ourselves in many areas and then realize that we haven't been walking where we should walk. You know, with my life, I've had to deal, you know, sometimes you can be straightforward, but you can be doing it in the flesh. And God tells us to correct with gentleness. I've corrected, you're supposed to correct, but I haven't corrected with gentleness. And I'm working on that. So y'all have to be patient with me. And thank you for putting up with me. And so to not be assertive is something that I have to choose to die to, among other things. And I need to be assertive when I'm prompted by the Holy Spirit and not by coming out of my own flesh or my own pride. Okay, so it's a choice. It's something that I have to choose to do continually. God wouldn't tell me to deny myself if it was an automatic thing. It's all by His grace. You can't even do anything He tells you to do, His grace is there. And you know, my grandmother, this is kind of a sidetracking, but with the world situation that it's in, I hardly remember anything my grandmother said, but she was a godly woman. And I remember when I first got saved, I said, Grandmother, I'd read the book of Job. I said, I don't think I could go through what Job went through. She said, oh, honey, God will never put more on you than you can take. His grace is sufficient. Whatever you're allowed to do, God's not going to let you be destroyed. He's not going to let your walk with Him be destroyed. He knows how much pressure He can put on you or allow in your life. And we're getting ready to go through some times that we better exhibit and manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I thought I was doing it. So deceived. And you know what? I'm not, even after this, God's not through with me. There is so much more to this that I don't even see. But I'm going to search it out until I am totally healed. And if I'm never healed, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. And I'm going to thank God if just one person is changed and helped by what I've learned about the eyes. I've learned so much about eyes. But here's some things about meekness. It's a choice, and it's not to say we don't need deliverance, because we may need deliverance too, but when you make a choice, the demons leave. They have to. But we're to seek, it says in Zephaniah, if you want to turn there, Zephaniah 2:3, it says, seek the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Now, if you're walking in obedience to the Lord, when God pours out His wrath upon this earth, you don't have to go through the wrath of God. But I believe that the church is going to go through the tribulation. But God is going to protect us wherever we are if we walk in obedience and humility and be under His yoke. And so we're to seek meekness. And the word seek in the Hebrew means search it out by any method. Seek God, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Search it out by any method.
And the next thing is we have to put on meekness. Colossians, go to Colossians 3:12. It says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness. And, you know, if we think we're so perfect, Jesus said, if you think you're so perfect, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and then follow me. Remember, the man had too much. That's a picture of God is working perfection in us, and everything we have has to be under His lordship. You're stewards of what He's given you. Colossians 3:14. Well, let's see. 3:13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. You can do that if you're glorying in your infirmities. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks and the Father by faith, by Him. And some other things we need to choose to put on. Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, if we have on the armor of light, Jesus tells us to let our light so shine before men that they see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. You know, as our light shines, and this is a revelation to me, Jesus said in the last days the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And if you've ever looked at one of those big old spotlights in the sky, you can't see what's behind it. And yet, if the glory of God has lit us up, we blind the eyes of the enemy. It says in Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, it's all by grace, but God wouldn't tell us to do that if we didn't have a choice. In 1 Corinthians 15:53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal man must put on immortality. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. But how many of you know that we have to reckon it so? We have to reckon ourselves dead. We died with Christ when He died on the cross, but we have to continually be reckoning it so. Okay, the next thing is we have to follow after meekness. Well, Ephesians 4:24, and put ye on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So I've got this before me. I'm tempted to let that thing rear up in me, but I have to depress it and put on the new man, which is after God and is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so the next thing about meekness is we have to follow after meekness. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. I'm told, and I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, but at the end of 2012 or 13, all family wealth that's in paper will be destroyed. So you better be putting stuff in heavenly treasures. And I hope that's not true, but the way things are going, I don't doubt it. And you could say, well, you know, I should be a CEO of a big corporation and I should have all these 401ks and all these kind of things. And I'm not saying that's not a good thing. But you better
if you do have money, you need to put it in things that cannot be taken. I mean, they can take it anyway, but put it in things that cannot be taken from you. Put it, I mean, not that it can't be. If you put it in a house or in land or whatever you put it in, it can be taken. And you're not doing that because you think you're going to keep it from being taken, because if God doesn't protect it, you don't have any protection.
Right.
So we're to follow after meekness. 1 Timothy 6:11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, the desire to get rich, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many. And then we're to instruct in meekness. 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness or gentleness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And other verses that emphasize meekness is Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. And Jesus declares a blessing, happiness, on those who are meek. Meekness or gentleness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Proverbs 16:18-19 says, pride goes before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. It's better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly. In the Bible, meekness primarily emphasizes a submissiveness toward God. And we have to recognize our sinfulness and our dependence upon the Lord. You know, the story of the Pharisee in Luke 18. You know, he was saying, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that publican over there. And the publican was saying, you see, he was lowly. He was a beggar. Oh, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's like being a Pharisee or a publican. The Pharisee is full of pride, self-righteousness, self-justification, or the publican, oh God, have mercy upon me. Lord, I ask you, and you know, I started asking the Lord, Lord, let me see myself as a beggar. Let me see how needy I am. And you know, the last 2 weeks I thought, you know, I need to get saved. I'm serious. Show me how needy I am. And he'll show me something. I think, oh Lord, that's evil. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy. A Pharisee exalts himself. And he said we have to be like a little child. A little child's dependent on his father for the provision. He has a problem. He should be able to go to his mother and father. Most of you weren't able to go to your mother and father because of the breakdowns and the foundations being destroyed in the home. But that's what God's all about, is restoring your foundations. Building up the wall of Jerusalem. In Nehemiah, the whole book of Nehemiah is about deliverance, about rebuilding the former devastations of many generations that's been torn down through the perversion, the alcoholism. And like, you don't know, I think it was Carla said, you know, we talk about how great granddaddy was, but we the secret thing of him maybe molesting all the children, that thing is a hidden thing. And we have to deal with generational iniquities of the forefathers. And some of you have children that are manifesting mental illness and all kinds of mental problems. And I can tell you there's some generational stuff that you have to deal with if you want your children healed. Because if you've not been into those things, somebody in the bloodline has. But mental illness and all forms of mental problems is rooted in rebellion. And that's one of the curses in Deuteronomy. Disobedience to the voice of God and His commandment will cause you to go mad. Isaiah 1, God says, where will you continue in your rebellion? Your whole head is sick from the sole of your feet to the top of your head. No one to press you out, bandage you, soften with the oil. And that word sick is it's a picture of a person that's been flogged in the head. There's the mental problems, the confusion. And it talks about the rebellion of the forefathers. And meekness toward God's word requires putting away filth and wickedness to be doers of the word and not just hearers.
the example of Jesus, the meek submit themselves to God's commands. And Jesus in Philippians 2:8 says, having come to earth as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of dying on the cross. He was tempted in all points like we are. He had a choice. He didn't have to go to the cross. He chose to go to the cross. And if Jesus is our example of having to choose to die, we have to choose to die to our flesh. 1 Peter 2:21, he left us an example that we should follow his steps. He did no sin, nor was guilt found in his mouth. Both Moses and Jesus, both expressly noted for their meekness and humility. It tells us in James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, which is surplage, which means something that is surplus, an excess amount, excessive words. I'm trying to be quiet. I'm trying to learn to be quieter. Tempted to speak, Lord, do you want me to speak or you want me to be quiet? And I know that's a joy to some of you, especially Kyle.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.